This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Podcast Network powered by Spotify, because it's out coming to you. Oh, Mikey Meatballs is here. He's producing this disaster of the show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds at D3, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren, the Pauly Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I don't want to dwell on it. But we're coming off a race to 10 Tuesday. We lost 10 to 9. That's two close ones we've lost in a row. This one was in Harry's hands. Harry, now you made a pledge to go against your NBA picks, but this is one you made us go with. The Dallas Mavericks to get to 10 before the Clippers, and they lost 10 to 9. Why didn't you switch this one up? I don't know.
Look. Leonard played. Didn't have any shots in there. Or had one shot missed. Didn't have any points. We should have got there. Luka didn't make a basket. Kyrie didn't even take a shot in that time period, except one where it got blocked. It was an awful. What would you say? It was 18 minutes long, Sal?
18 real minutes, yeah, which doesn't ever happen for us unless we're doing a college. But yeah, we would have won the race to 8. They have race to 8, Brother Bri. It's at 10 Tuesday with the double T. If there was a word, you know, a name of a day of a week that started with AAA, you know, we could double up on the crap. But anyway, all right, we lost. But Pauly Kid doesn't care. Still on fire from that Knicks win on Monday. Good job. Do they ever play again? I mean, we're doing Wednesday picks, and I think that's it. They're never going to play again, right? You just won two at the Garden, that's it?
I wish that was it, Sal. I mean, and plus, the next time they play, we got the draft going, got the Knicks going. Right. It's going to be what an insane night that is going to be. Yeah, that was something else.
The greatest Knicks win of most Knicks fans' lifetime? You know what I'm saying? Most Knicks fans are now, you know, I'm not saying that if you were two when the Knicks won against the Heat or whatever in game set, whatever that was, that doesn't count. Most Knicks fans, if you're 35, whatever, is that the best Knicks win? I'm going to take your silence as a yes. That's what I'm going to say.
I'm thinking.
That's a good question. Besides that LJ game, yeah. Right? Yeah. Besides the LJ game.
Yeah, that was forever ago now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be. So that's probably one of the best wins,
crazy
in the
sequence.
History of the entire franchise, yeah. Right?
So insane sequence.
I guess it's got to be. Yeah, you know, that's like a once in every 25, 30 years type of
What ending, the fact think, that the right? refs so, the refs give you so many calls in a row, is that what?
Oh, no. Come on.
Well, you root for the Knicks
no.
too.
No, I'm rooting for the Knicks. No, there's a lot of people that's going nuts. Going nuts about the refs.
There's nothing to go nuts about. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
All right.
That never happens in the regular season, though. Never happens in the regular season.
Well, it was just a mess. That was just like shooting a scene from Vietnam or something. The way, but all over the place. But you couldn't even see what the hell was going on there. It's really nuts. Really nuts. But anyway, on the Tuesday's action, I'm doing good with my minus my nifty 9.5s. Minnesota beats Phoenix 105-93. The Pacers win even up the series against Milwaukee 125-108. I'm betting every team minus 9.5 favorite underdog. I maintain that at the end of the playoffs, these are all blowouts. Most of them are blowouts. I cashed on a plus 230 and a plus 290. Mavs, Clippers still going. I will say with these Suns, I don't know, Harry, it's in your backyard. And I didn't think I'd ever say this, but Grayson Allen is missed by this team, right? If you were ever going to say when you had the big three, when it was Beal, Booker, Durant, Grayson Allen's name wouldn't be mentioned for the first 4 minutes of a Suns breakdown in October, right?
No, right. And he got injured again early in the third. That was it for him. That might be it for him for the series as well. And again, like I was texting Darren during the game a little bit, you know, you guys a little bit too. Durant, just like when they need him the most, he goes 0-for-5 in the third quarter. Then, you know, that lead jumped up to 20. And a lot of it was with Edwards on the bench for Minnesota. It was the other role players getting it done. Booker didn't have a good game either. Had some turnovers, and this Suns team, just they don't have a bench, and they really don't have a leader right now. It's a bad deal. They're down 2-0. Doesn't look good for Phoenix.
Durant 6-for-15, not the worst, but nothing special. 18 points. Jaden McDaniels on the other side, 25 points, 10-for-17. Did a nice job there. The other game we talked about was the Pacers evening it up against the Bucks. Giannis in that Bruce, 37 for Siakam. Holy crap, 16 for 23.
Siakam was obviously really good. They buried this game, it seemed like, on NBA TV, right? You had to go searching for this one. But yeah, it was a good bounce back win for the Pacers. I think we all kind of had the Pacers doing well in the series. It didn't look great after game one, but the way they played in that one, gives you good hope for the rest of the series.
You want to guess the line for the rest of the series?
Pacers minus 135.
Bucks minus 120. So the shops.
Well, so then, so obviously
coming
then
back. Yeah.
Yeah. That means he's coming back sooner though. Right.
Right.
That means he's coming. He's got to be coming back.
One of the next two games, you would think. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Got to be.
That's what it looks like. We did well with our picks on Monday. I was 4-1. I was a half a Tobias Harris point/rebound/assist, any one of those away from sweeping. Brother Bry gave away plus money winners all over the place, right?
Yeah. That was good. Although the fun, I think the most fun bet, I'm going to come back to this in our NBA, but that Josh Hart to score in the first 3 minutes plus 185. I mean, he got it with about 9 seconds left. I lucked out on that one.
I think Josh Hart scored every minute of that game. I think he had a point. It's insanity, the numbers he put up. All right, but let's go. And then Harry, even going against himself, went 1-2. The one we laughed at the most, I think, won, which is always the case, right?
Russell to go over 2.5 threes. He had three in the first quarter.
Right. There you go. They just can't. We're not going to hit that game, parlay kid. But are we hitting the game? We're not hitting that Lakers game, right? No. Oh, no. I see what you're doing here later on. Parlay kid. We're going to have Sharp Tank. We're going to go over NFL draft props. And we're going to go NHL Wednesday action. And also right now we're going to do Tuesday NBA. But before that, I just... I felt a little bad for the Lakers. I'm right. What the hell do they need to do? They blow that 20-point lead, demoralizing loss. I don't know if it was as bad as the Sixers. Maybe it was, just in terms of like how we're not going to ever get better than a 20-point lead on Denver mid-third or early third. Well, but that, go ahead. What were you going to say? What?
No, I was going to say, Sal, you're right. I mean, I think so too, because you also got to consider how many games in a row Denver has beaten this Laker team.
Yeah.
And to be up 20, to have them on the ropes, and Denver wasn't shooting well, especially Murray wasn't, and to blow it like you didn't. Like I said, you have to have a third cog on this Laker team to be able to beat this Denver team, and Russell was the guy. So they did have three guys that had spectacular nights. And it was one of those things that just
Reeves just needs to be better. They need four. They need four guys. Yeah, Reeves needs to be better.
Maybe they do need four.
And I don't know about AD. You saw him go down there in that pile, a game-winning shot there by Murray. It was a pile of players. They have still not recovered him. I think they said President Biden called FEMA in. He got Adam Silver said, "Hey, can we get somebody to try to dig up AD from that pile?" And I said, "They're still digging and digging and digging." Lakers plus 920. To win that series now, not going to happen. T-Wolves minus 480, by the way, over the Suns. Suns plus 350 the other way. But let's get into Wednesday action. Celtics, is this still 14.5 and 205 against the Heat? I believe it is. My goodness, this is an ugly series. Yeah, 14.5. Went down to 203, the over-under. We're all taking player props here. Let me start us off. Jason Tatum, top scorer, plus 105. Now, Bam edged him last game, 24-23. But it was a bad shooting performance by Tatum, 1-for-8. Also, a little chippiness at the end of the game. Might be playing with a little chip on his shoulder. A lot of chip references for me right now. But in games that he's played, he's been the team's top scorer in 8 of the last 11 Celtics games Tatum has, and the game's high scorer in 6 of those. So you're getting a little value with the plus number. Give me Tatum, top scorer, plus 105. I'm not screwing with that, minus 14.5. They're a weird team, Celtics. I think they were up 32, and what'd they close it by, 20? I just can't trust how hard the Heat are going to play at the end. So that's mine. Harry, you got Bam. You gave us a little emoji in the outline, over 9.5 rebounds.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way, though, like I've been doing. I know it's only 1-2 the other day, but I'm still doing it again. He did average 7.5 boards during the regular season, so I'm going to go, but I'm going to go over 9.5 boards here, like I said, at plus 102. But he had just 6 in game 1 versus Boston. In fact, he's had no more than 7 rebounds in 5 straight games, but I'm going over 9.5. On Wednesday, I'm going at least 10 for Bam on Wednesday.
All right. There you go. Brother Bry, Kobe White, who lost that. Now I'm confused with six man and most improved. Six man, right? Most improved?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Most improved. Most improved.
Right. Kobe White loses to Maxi White, but you like him in a player prop. Again, is he pissed off about the votes? He just missed out.
Well, no, just a different player, though. That's the only thing. Derek White.
Oh, all right. Fine.
Forgot the Bulls were already out. Forgot.
I thought there was a trade this morning. You didn't see that? Derek White. He got 0 votes. So, all right.
Well, look, Derek White used to have some wild hair. I'm glad he shaved his head off this season, right? I have a little bit more confidence in him now that he went bald like us. I'm going to take him over 2.5 threes at minus 128. You know, he has been a really big playoff performer here. He's made at least 3 threes in 7 of his last 8 playoff games. And for this season, he closed out the season, including the last game, he's made at least 3 threes in 11 of his 14 last regular season games and the last playoff game combined. So he is shooting 40% from 3, but it seems like in these games, I mean, he hits this number usually, even taking, 6 here. I feel like he's shooting like 45% in these playoffs all the time. So give me the over 2.5. I thought that was a little low.
Well, they juice these up, these over threes. They don't care. People must be betting them a lot. That's what it says to me, the juicing them so much. All right, Pauly Kid, bring us home with another player prop here.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tyler Hero, most points at plus 500. Look, it's a little bit of the roll of the dice, but, he is Miami's leading scorer.
Mm-hmm.
This game should play. I think it's going to be another low scoring affair. I think that's the only way Miami can kind of stay in the game is if they really play like an ugly type of game against the Celtics. So I think that's just what they're going to do. And I could see the high score, getting 26, 27 points. I'm not sure if anybody's going to go 30 plus. And Hero, especially without Butler, he does get a large amount of 3-point shots, up 9, 9, and 14 in his last 3 games. And he hasn't really been hot from there either. If he has one of those 6-for-9, 6-for-10 3-point performances, this could hit I'll take Hero, the leading scorer of this Heat team, at 5-1.
All right. I hope you lose, because then mine has a chance. all right. I'm looking. So to start this series, you basically, the question was sweep or 4-1, right? I think they were, well, they both couldn't be 110. So sweep was -110. I think 4-1 was like +130. Probably, does that make sense? Something like that.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yep.
Now the sweep is 170. 4-1 is +200. You have a choice which way you're going. You're going with the bigger minus?
No, I would. You never know in some of these games when they go on the road here, like especially on a game four. Will they pack it in? Will they show a little guts? Because mm-hmm. you know, in game four, usually from like a Celtic, you might not get that full effort. So
mm-hmm.
That's one of those games. Again, maybe game four, I'd probably be betting like Miami first half.
Game
for sure,
four,
but
if yeah. they had lost three in a row, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but I would, I think, I don't know, the odds minus 170 kind of suck.
Harry, what will game three be if the Celtics win by, let's say, 13 today? But so game three, seven still on the road?
Oh,
yeah. I don't think that much. I think 5.5, 6.
Really? Brian thinks more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a little more, right? Yeah. Well, it's going to be more.
I feel like they swing at five or at least, or about. All right, we'll see. How that goes. Let's hit the later game, Oklahoma City, 7.5, 211, well, 210 and a half now against New Orleans. That was the best game of the only real good game of the weekend, Sunday night. Last second win by Oklahoma City. I think they get it together, and I'm going to take an adjusted line here. This is one of the 9.5s I'm pretty confident in. 12.5. though, is +182. Like I said, they barely got by on Sunday. They want to make a statement here at home. I also like SGA 35 or more points at +270. I think there's a statement game both for OKC and SGA and any other anagram you can find in there. He's had five games in the last 3 or 4 weeks with 35 or more. He had a 40 point game a couple weeks back. 0-for-3 from three, you know, kind of, I don't know. I think they kept this New Orleans team around, not thinking they'd show up, you know, no Zion. So I think they take them a little more seriously. Statement game at home, 12.5 adjusted and SGA 35 or more points. Bri, go to it. SGA in the first 3 minutes. I like this.
Yes. I told you I love this one at the top of the show with the heart, right? Scoring in the first 3 minutes. I love mm-hmm. that prop. I got that at +185 the other day. So yeah, I'm going to go right back to this and I'm going to take SGA to score in the first 3 minutes. Look, I'm laying -140, but doesn't it seem like this should be like -180 here for SGA? It's a low number.
Yeah.
But look, I really love it because look back at SGA. Look at it the last game. Look at SGA back the last five. I only went back five games. He is scoring within the first 90 seconds of all of these games.
Yeah, makes sense.
One of the games he scored in the first 15 seconds. He's being ultra aggressive early, getting up some shots. So, and you know, he's not the thing about SGA. He's not jacking up three pointers all game long, right? He comes out. He might even be aggressive going to the basket or a short mid range jumper or going to the free throw line. So I really liked him to score early at -140.
All right. We're all on the same page here, it seems, until we get to Harry. I don't know. He's taking the page and turning it upside down and inside out, but we'll get to him in a second. But Parlay Kid, I like him 12.5, +182. You like him 11 or more at +140.
Yeah. So I probably just should go with yours, Sal. At first, I was just going to take the 7.5. But then I really do agree with you. Where I think this is going to be. I think, right, it was kind of a little bit of a wake-up call to OKC in game one. They let the Pels hang around way too long.
Yeah.
Some of their premier players did not really play well. They eked out a victory. Now I think it's like they're going to have their foot on the gas from the start of the game, and they're going to run away with this one. So I'm going to take the OKC 11 plus or more points to win by at +140, Sal. But really yours, why wouldn't I just jump on you at -12.5 at +182 at that point?
I know where you're coming from, because your thing, your big bet, it's a bulletproof bet. It really is when the home team loses in game one in any of these series, they come back. None of the home teams lost in game one. This is the closest it was to that.
Right. That's kind of like, that's kind of how I'm looking at this. Like, that's my big bet. I'm so disappointed that none of these home teams lost.
Right.
But I'm thinking this was too close for comfort for OKC. Mm-hmm. They're the more talented team here, Sal. The home court is, that place is a fantastic place to play. Great fans there. They went big here, Sal.
I think I'm going to load up on them.
11 plus. Yeah. I think so. Well,
but also for the series, I'm looking the spread -2.5. So they could, if they won 4-1 or swept, is -162. Sure. It's weird because they, like I said, looked, I don't want to say the worst at all the home teams, but, gave you a run for your money if you had them on the money line for sure. All right, Harry, this is an SG. This is your SGP. Have a SGA in it, or are you going opposite? What is this?
It does not. No opposite on this one, but Sal, you're going to like this one. Same game parlay pays -105, four leg. I'm thinking OKC on the money line. Thunder got their scare in game one. So we just mentioned that was New Orleans' time to steal one. Didn't happen. OKC goes up 2-0. So money line on OKC. Jalen Williams scores 15 points or more for the Thunder. He's averaged 19 this regular season. He had 19 in game one, so 15 or more for Williams. Valanciunas, at least 6 boards, had 20 in game one and at least 6 in every meeting versus OKC this year. And Chet Holmgren, also at least 6 boards, had 11 in game one and had 6 or more in 9 straight games.
All right. There you go. If you could follow that, God bless you. That's Harry's pick, same game parlay. We're going to take a little break. We're going to talk. What do we have? We have NHL. We have Shark Tank. We have Major League Baseball news. But when we return, I guess there are a few draft props we haven't hit. I guess we'll do that when we get back.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
All right, NFL draft this Thursday night. We've given you a lot of picks so far. It's kind of uneventful, Brian. Looking at this, like, no one's father is talking his son up or anything. There's nobody stuck with like an elaborate pot smoking face mask or like, I don't know. Like, really, kind of a lame week so far for draft, right? What do we need to happen?
Yeah, something. It's weird. It's weird. I guess tomorrow and the next day we'll start hearing a lot more stuff. But you're right. For as much as everybody's pumped up about the draft, it has gotten a little quiet. And usually, like, have you been looking? Have you been following the lines? Sure. A lot of times, right, all of a sudden there's like a huge swing, right, with one player, right, if you got him. But everything's still kind of aligned. There's one or two guys that maybe have switched odds a little bit, like the UCLA guy I gave out the other day over 16.5 or whatever I gave him out at. All of a sudden, he's making a run up, unfortunately, odds wise into the top 15. But I haven't seen nothing too crazy.
Yeah, Leggett went from 40 to 33.5. Bowers went from 12.5 to 11. I'm tracking a couple of these. Well, I mean, look, the number one pick, Caleb Williams, is -20,000. That hasn't moved. The two pick, I guess a month ago, a little more, was Drake May. Now it's Jaden Daniels, but it was kind of a pick 'em. Now Daniels is -390. And despite all the JJ McCarthy talk, Drake May is -290 for the third pick, JJ McCarthy +430. But let's hit those quarterbacks. By the way, FanDuel has a lot of props. I turned in a lot of stuff today. One of them is first four picks are quarterbacks. Now I can't find this. First four picks are quarterbacks. Where the hell is this? Did you guys see this? Gotta have
it.
Somewhere.
They had it.
Is it not up yet now? First four picks, quarterback.
No, it's in like the draft specials.
Plus 170 for first four players drafted to all be quarterbacks. We'll hit a few more of these, but let's focus right now on over under. I can't believe we haven't done this. 4.5 first round quarterbacks. The over is -260. The under is +188. Most of us are going with the under. We'll give our reasons in a second. I mean, I think we're in a weird spot with quarterbacks, right? Maybe the weirdest we've ever been with. Like, on one hand, there's only a handful that existing in the NFL right now that we're confident in that can win a Super Bowl. Maybe a fingerful. Maybe it's just Patrick Mahomes. That, on the other hand, these guys go down like flies, Parlay Kid. You need a quarterback, you need two, you need three quarterbacks, right? On the third hand, if you have a third hand, these scouts have been terrible. They really have. They really, like, and only once has this gone over 4.5 in 13 years. And there's always a Will Levis staring into space, or a Malik Willis. I'm not even sure was drafted yet. The year that there were five is Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Lawrence. Out of those, it's one that's proven himself, kind of, I guess. I don't know. So I'm thinking this is the year that, like, nah, we could wait on quarterbacks. These guys, you know, let's not go crazy. I think Nix or Penix drop out the first, maybe out of the first round. Maybe even McCarthy drops out. So I'm going to go under. Parlay Kid, you're going under 4.5 also. Nice plus money if it happens.
Yeah, look, Sal, I'm not really sure, especially if you're talking about the four straight quarterbacks going in the first four or five picks. Imagine having to sweat out each pick from there out. I mean, I'm sure we may have a gap where the fifth doesn't get taken. But boy, oh boy, from like 20 to 30, you know, whatever.
Well, you really don't have a gap, because there's always a possibility of a trade. So it's even like, even if the Cowboys pick, it's like, someone could trade up here and grab it, you know?
They could. They 100%. Right. So I think that would happen a little bit later.
Right.
And I just think, you know, the value is much better going to what we're saying. I really wonder if the consensus at some point is, well, you know, what's the difference between Penix or the next best guy? There just might be just one of those things where somebody might just say, look, let's just wait to the second round, third round to get somebody. And that's what I'm betting on here, Sal. And again, just because of the price, I think it's too hefty to take the over when it's not really a guarantee that fifth quarterback is going to be taken in the first round, right?
Right.
You'd be paying for it if that was the case. And I'm really not sure if that's going to happen. I think some teams just may wait. And obviously it's going to be Penix, right? He'd be the fifth.
Am I
right, Harry?
Penix. I mean, what do you think, Harry?
Well, I think that, you know, after those four.
Nix,
you
know, you're right.
If you look into the late, you know, those four guys go, and then you go late into the first round, 27 in Arizona, Murray's their guy for now. 28, the Bills, no. 29, the Lions, no. Ravens. And then 31, you got San Francisco with Purdy. They're fine with him. And then obviously Kansas City doesn't need a quarterback. They need a wide receiver, as I mentioned last week. So the only thing that I can come up with, how this goes over 4.5, which obviously I'm going under with you guys here, is there's only one team that could really mess this up. And of course, it's Brian's Raiders.
No. Well, no, I think
the Vikings. The Vikings.
The Vikings, too, but the Vikings do want.
The Broncos.
The Broncos do. There's a few. just the four that we named, but really, you're Raiders. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm looking.
But that's the thing, Raiders, right, Sal?
Wait, hold on. But Brian, if the Raiders went, just if you heard Nix's name, would you be surprised by the Raiders? Would you really be surprised from what they've done in first
round? Well, look, I'm going to be mad
in the first round.
Well, look, I'm going to be mad. Yeah. If like Nix is their first pick where they're currently at. Now, if they trade back into the first, get an extra pick and then do that, fine. I mean, what I want them to do is trade back up into the first. And that's why I'm going over 4.5, because we've already kind of, even though I know, every year, like you said, whether it's Levis, whoever it is, there's always a guy waiting out there. But it seems pretty, almost a lock that four are going in the top 10, pretty much. I mean, with the trade. And then at that point, yeah, the thing is you get the Raiders and Broncos who desperately need some type of quarterback. And I think Penix is definitely the guy that, I don't know. I mean, he already came out this week and was like, I don't know if you heard his statement, but he was basically saying like, I'm glad I've been injured in the past. Right. Like, and then he was basically like saying, you know, don't do any more x-rays, MRIs, do like an EKG, basically saying like how smart he is as a quarterback now going through like everything he's gone through. Now if Penix is healthy, you can't tell me Penix is not at least Tua with a better arm, I feel like. Right. So I'm sure he's Tua with more injuries
coming in.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. But yeah. I think it's just worth the risk. I think it's worth the risk to trade back into the first for them. That's why I feel like the Broncos Raiders will be fighting over potentially getting one of those guys.
Well, listen, you can make money if you bet all of them. Like Raiders to get Knicks is 5-1. Raiders to get McCarthy is 20-1. Raiders to get Penix is 3-1. So yeah. If you're really confident, it kind of has to be one of those three. But yeah. I'm going the other way here. I think there's really someone's really going to have egg on their face here. I bet McCarthy second round at 50-1. I bet McCarthy over 5.5 at +112. I just feel like, yeah, I feel like you're going to get one of these. Like I bet Penix over 32.5 at +194. Mm. I think one of these hits. So, in other words, stay away from all those. Those are going to be losers, but I gave it too much thought.
50-1. Wow.
Isn't that good? Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Let's do D lineman edge rusher drafted first. Turner, even Murphy, +250. Latu, +260. I'm going Byron Murphy. Texas freak. He's a freak. You're going to hear that over and over and over on Thursday. This guy is, if they have a wingspan, Bri, over 18 inches, they're a freak on the defensive line. But some teams are, you know, taking them like them first on their board. I said this last week on Through the Ringer with Tate, and then Schefter reported it, that Murphy should go first. Newton, who was really the darling of this draft, the defensive line, had a late season injury for Illinois. It's basically Dallas Turner, the Bama edge, now battling it out. But I think at 8 and 9, the Bears and Falcons will be, they both like Byron Murphy from what I'm reading. And there's a lot of emphasis this year and recent years. You saw the pay structure for defensive tackles, and that falls off in a big way after Murphy in that 7, 8, 9 spot. So I like him to be the first defensive lineman taken +250. Parley Kid, you're going with the favorite, Dallas Turner.
Yeah, so I think this is a no-brainer here. I don't see any other way. Just looking at all the drafts, the mock drafts, the stuff out of Atlanta, taking Turner with the 8th pick, it just seems like a no-brainer. This guy Micah Parsons coming out? He's close. He's probably the closest guy to Parsons, Atlanta, for as tempted as they might be to take another tight end, but they've gone, remember, Atlanta now has gone tight end, wide receiver, running back, right, with their last 3 picks here, right? So I think they come back with a defensive player, and Turner's the guy. They need an edge guy. I think this is easy money. I think this is the easiest money we could be betting on.
Really? Okay.
For this draft. Is Turner, but obviously, where you're getting at least even money, right? I thought it was +125.
+105 now. I'm looking 105.
Okay, yep. So +105. This for to get a plus next to it. This is the biggest slam dunk of all the draft props, that where you're going to have a plus symbol in front of it. Right. So all Turner. Right.
Wow.
First lineman.
Bri, how are you going to add to that? I mean, he says it's a no brain. I guess I have no brain by going with Murphy, but you like it.
Yeah,
you
look, I like Murphy too. Murphy might be the best defensive line, right? Defensive lineman on here potentially, but there are not a ton of edge rushers. I mean, you got the 3 edge rushers here potentially in the first round, but there's not a ton here. That's why I like Turner up top. And look, it looked like Turner's freshman year seemed like he was going to be like one of the next great edge rushers, but Then he fell off in his sophomore year. And then this year as a junior, he came back and had another really good year. So, but he's maybe, you know, maybe not as dominant as some of the guys in the years past, but he's been pretty consistent even through all throughout this whole draft process. Seems like he's been a top 12, 13 guy. Can't necessarily say that for all the others. Murphy does have a much bigger range, right? It's been anywhere from like, you know, 9 to 20, early 20s here. So I've never really seen Turner outside that like 13, 14 range. So I do think that's good. I mean, it's possible Sal, yours is better value though.
Well, we'll see. Harry's got the most value in his if it hits. What do you got, Harry?
Yeah, I got Jared Verse at plus 650 from Florida State. Darren, gave you a chance to take him. He's from Dayton, Ohio. Mm. You know, it started out at SUNY Albany, and then he transferred to Florida State. 2 years there, had 9 sacks each year, 30 tackles for losses. At times, seemed very unstoppable. Loved watching him play at Florida State. I know you guys love, you two love Dallas Turner, and that he very well possibly may be the first pick, but I think you can't go wrong taking Verse. He wasn't recruited highly out of high school into college, so I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. And at plus 650, he was fantastic at Florida State. I think he's going to be great for anybody.
By the way, you would think Harry would be on top of this. He tries to steal a nickel from the odds any chance he gets. Versus 11-1 now.
Ah, I didn't know. Wow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So that was one of the ones that really changed.
Yeah. I would say double. Yeah.
And Harry has enjoyed watching him on the ESPN Gamecast.
Parley kid, Cowboys. We should trade up to get Dallas Turner. Dallas head Turner or Dallas, right? If he was a Cowboy, this guy needs to be a Cowboy.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, babe, put him on the other side.
Bookend him with with our guy number 11. Let's do it. All right. Now, I just now miscellaneous. Anything else we want to hit? I mean, we did quarterbacks. We did receivers. I'm all over Roma Dunze. I have him top 5, 14-1. First wide receiver, 34-1. Under 8.5, minus 180. But I'll give you another one. I'm going to go Denver first. I'm kind of going against myself a little, saying under 4.5 quarterbacks. But I think Denver might be a team that finagles that fourth quarterback. First pick quarterback plus 190. I think the Zach Wilson signing, I think it's funny, first of all. And I think it even means more that the Broncos are in the market for a starting quarterback. They picked number 12 and number 76. So it would have to be that first pick or whatever, trying to make that work. Maybe they trade the 76 or something. I just don't think they're going in there. Sean Payton and GM George Patton aren't screwed around. I don't think they're going into the season with, you know, Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Ben DiNucci. They have the 12, trade up or wait and get their guy, Penix, McCarthy, or Nix. I think that'll be how it goes. That's my pick for Denver, first pick quarterback plus 190. Parley kid, Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this kid, Worthy. And I'm paying a little bit here, minus 155 to go in the first round. Mm. At first, I looked at it as I was going to take him under 31.5 at minus 114. But then, I don't know. I'm rolling the dice on this one, too. I'm paying a little bit more just because I don't think he would ever make it past the Chiefs. If he was available, I think he'd be a perfect actually prospect for the Chiefs. So I might have to wait for the last pick in the first round. But Sal, here's a kid too from Texas, over 1,000 yards receiving this year. He's a little slight right now, but he's still a 6'1 kid. Mm-hmm. So he's got some height as a receiver. He ran a 4.21. He's a record setting 40 yard dash guy here. He's been absolutely tested off the charts. He had a very productive season for a very good Texas team. Would you be upset if the Cowboys took him where they are? I wouldn't be upset at all about that. And it wouldn't feel like a reach to me to go for him there. So I think he's a surefire first round pick. Will it be a later first round pick, early 20s to the last pick? You might have to sweat this out a little bit. But I think he gets it done. His numbers were too good in terms of his testing numbers, were too dynamic for him not to be a first-round pick. And he's proven it on the field. Three very good years at Texas. So He's a surefire first round pick.
Yeah. So aside from offensive linemen, the over under there is 9.5. Wide receiver is the expected. Wide receiver and defensive end line are both 6.5. They're expecting 6 wide receivers. The under is -360. So, but your guess is as good as anybody's guess who receivers 2 through 6 are. Right. So this is where the value is. We went over this last week and just the history of wide receivers and whoever they think is number one usually goes number one. Jamar Chase, right?
Sure.
Who won it last year? Why can't I think now?
Smith and Jigba.
He was first. So if you look back, those are the guys that were supposed to be one. But then when you go to two, it really gets complicated with trades and everything. So I could see that being right. There's value in wide receivers. So pick one or two and go with it. Harry, offensive line pick for the Texans, new uniforms?
Yes. First pick for the Texans offensive line at +230. Team was great last year, stepped it up. They even got a ton better in the offseason. Defensively, they shored up their D-line with Danielle Hunter from the Vikings, who had 16.5 sacks. And on offense, they got Mixon, they got Diggs. Plus, they already had a solid receiving core already. What they need to do is bolster that offensive line, protect C.J. Stroud here. Like I said, the offense is going to be fantastic. Get another offensive lineman. Help him out. And at +230, I think that's great value.
I think it was Warren Sharp's tweet today. He listed, like, he had a graph of offensive linemen, capital invested in offensive linemen over the last 5 or 6 years. And it's just, it's enormous amount of, you know, influx and early picks, offensive linemen over the years. Jets and Giants have invested the most over that time. And they're 1 and 2 in quarterback pressures, like bad. Or 31-32, however you want to look at it.
Jets and Giants have definitely missed. They've taken shots and they've definitely missed.
But they keep going for them. Anyway, yeah.
Texans are ready to roll.
Bri, I like yours here. This is fun. What was this in the specials?
Yeah, it was one of those weird special things. I searched for it. It was like one of the last things on the FanDuel board when I was going into the draft stuff. But I was surprised they had it, and I was surprised the odds. So the Chargers trade the first pick. I know they say before the selection is made because they don't want it to be after. But at +270. At first, I thought it was a mistake. I was like, am I reading this wrong? Is it no? And yeah, am I screwing this up? But no, I'm not. And like, you know, many of the mocks, they've been predicting forever, right, that the Chargers trade out of this spot. There are a lot of options for the Chargers there, right? If they want one of the top 2 or 3 receivers or top linemen, it'll be there for them. But, you know, with all the McCarthy hype, I mean, if the Vikings are going to trade up, it seems a logical partner there to trade to 5, not necessarily 4, because it doesn't seem like the Cardinals are making a quarterback push here. So there's so many good receivers in this draft. There's so many potential offensive linemen in this first round that instead of going with potentially maybe the best offensive lineman, maybe you could get a good, like the 4th receiver in this draft, maybe and also pick up an extra offensive lineman in the first round, then also get another pick and a top pick in next year's draft just to move out of the 5. So I think that would make sense for Harbaugh to do that this season. Again, unless you really want to make a splash for a receiver for Herbert, I couldn't blame them either because they don't have a lot of receiving options. But I think there's a lot of value for them to get back here. They're the one team that's in a good position to trade out of that. So +270, I thought that was weird because everybody's predicting that.
I'm looking at all these specials. They're kind of guy. Now, I bet Blake Corum to be drafted in the 2nd round. You get +350 for that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
How about this? Exactly 5 quarterbacks and exactly 6 wide receivers first round, +330. Or you could go 5 or more quarterbacks and 8 or more wide receivers is $750. They have like almost every combination of that there. Like I said, first 4 players drafted all quarterbacks. Yeah, man, I like these, and they have the matchups too. Like Worthy before Adonai Mitchell, probably kid is +130, so that could be something. Yeah, and then Marvin Harrison or Joe Alt to be in the top 3. 26-1. Maybe. I don't know. Marvin Harrison, game-changing player. So anyway, go there. FanDuel's got them all. Lots of fun. I could talk hours on this stuff, but we got to get going. We got to move. We got NHL. We got Shark Tank. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, let's take a look at the puck action here. Oh, Mikey Meatballs. Mikey Meatballs, top five Islanders losses of the decade the other night.
It might not have even been top five of the year. I mean.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me think. So, okay.
Wow.
Wait, when does the decade start? Wow, interesting.
It was the 25th time they've done it this year. So,
blown a 2-goal lead? Is that 25th?
Well, blown a third period lead, Sal.
Oh, jeez.
Well, was it right, Michael? A third period lead? 25 times?
Something like that.
Yeah.
3-goal, third period lead, something like
this
that.
This was their first time they lost a 3-0 lead in the playoffs ever. They were 81-0.
Jesus. Yeah. Oh,
it was, Sal, it was brutal.
And 2.5 minutes after DiVincenzo.
Now, me and Brian might be the only Knicks/Islander fans. It's a rare combination in New York. And the emotional swing.
Right.
And all my kids are. They're all Knicks/Islanders, too. So they were all gathered together as well. Three of my boys watching the game in upstate New York together. And we're going nuts about the Knicks. And then, literally 20 seconds after, we're like, oh, because we're just as passionate about the Islanders as the Knicks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, my gosh, what the Islander, it was 3-3, 4-3 within 12 seconds.
Right.
And it was unbelievable. I can't even tell you. It was the range of emotions. Thank goodness the Knicks won last night.
Yeah.
Or it would have been one of the worst sports nights in our lifetimes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was rough. Terrible. That was rough. Yeah. Oh, and they pulled a goal
at the time.
Yeah, it's bad news. And Harry got screwed because he had overtime. Game was tied for 4 seconds.
You guys were dumb for what you guys said on that.
No, you're dumb. Still, what do you mean?
No, I'm not dumb. It was 3-3 with two minutes to go.
It was three to two with two minutes and five seconds to go.
Sal.
You're going to give up another goal?
Where's the heartache? But Harry, I have the Islanders to win at +190.
Harry,
Islanders to win. Islanders to win at +190, +195 is a lot more soul crushing than the game not to go to overtime.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that it did happen to get to 3-3 with 2 minutes to go.
I know,
so
but
you figure teams cool it and then you get to overtime, figure things out and start overtime.
You were favored to win your bet for 5 seconds. Like, how can you go crazy?
It wasn't 3-3 with 6 minutes to go.
I get it, but it wasn't 6 seconds either. There were goals scored the last 2 minutes of the game.
How many times in the playoffs are 2 goals scored by the same team in 6 seconds?
All right. I don't know. But you're lucky then that they even tied it. Whatever. I don't want to talk about this. But worse yet for the New York and Mikey Meatballs, the Rangers are up 2-0 now, and the Isles are down 2-0. So, but let's get to our Wednesday play of the day. The Bruins blew it to I think they had a 1-goal lead 3 times against Maple Leafs. They go to Toronto now. Its series is even. They're -104, which is a slight underdog. Toronto scored 3 goals against the Bruins. That was the first time in 8 head-to-head contests. That's spectacular. And their all-time matchup is 354 wins and 354 losses, both teams, obviously. So that's pretty crazy. But I think this is one of the situations where the home crowd and just such passionate Toronto Maple Leaf fans, I think they're going to eat it. I think it's just too much. They took unnecessary penalties in game 2. the Leafs did. I think that's going to be more of that in front of the frenzied crowd. And I think they go Swaim in Boston. He had 36 saves in game one. They went away from him in game two.
So wish. Get
Boston
so
at about even odds. It matters little that they're on the road. They were 23-9-9 on the road, which actually better slightly than their home record. So give me the Bruins -104. All right, Parlay Kid. The Stars, our friend Frank was very upset, apparently, that his Stars blew it the other night.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was, according to Harry, he was very, threw some F-bombs out at Harry.
5 o'clock this morning, West Coast time.
Yeah, I mean.
He might be a weird guy. He might actually be
good for Frankie. I mean, this might be. Well, look, here's the thing, Sal, though, right? When it comes to this matchup,
yeah,
is that, you know how I love the home teams losing the first game so I can bet on them the second game, especially in the NBA. Not really so much hockey. Hmm. But if we had to pick out of the 16 games, right, in each NBA, NHL, and you were going to say which home team is going to lose game one, we probably would. I think the Stars would have been on top of that list.
Yeah,
the
Vegas Knights.
To be the team to lose.
Yeah.
Right. Even though it was it's like a 1-8 matchup.
Right.
You still would have said, yeah, there's something fishy about this series.
Right.
And the Knights have proven to be such a great playoff team that you would have figured. So, but I have to kind of go with this. And the disclaimer here is I'm not saying this is a lock. Like it would be on the NBA side.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a pretty, at least the Stars to win, I'm going to take them -1.5 so I can get a plus number on them here. But hoping for like a late goal or just the fact that, like you said, Sal, when you're the home team and you lost game one, maybe not so much as in basketball, but the Stars have to win this game, Sal. They had 113 points for a reason. They're very deep. They got four very good lines. And they're just this game is just a crowd will them to victory. I get a late empty netter. I win 4-2.
All right.
And I get +168 here on Dallas. I like my play of the day here.
Okay.
The home teams can't go 0-2, can they?
Sure.
Nobody's lost a game yet. They can't happen.
Why are the defending can't champs, Dave? The defending
well, the
champs.
Bucks lost. The Bucks lost, well, I have to say. They lost.
Darren, if it's tied with 2 minutes left, don't expect any goals because Harry said that was a fluke. It'll never happen again. You're not going to say anything like that in your lifetime. All right, Harry, I should have gone to you because you have something off of my game. The Bruins, you're going to Austin Matthews, who lost me money for the Hart Trophy, I think. I don't know, but his numbers are spectacular, and he got it together in game two.
He did, Sal. I'm going to take Matthews to have at least 6 shots on goal.
Wow.
Even money. He is a machine, plain and simple. He's always on the attack. He had 8 shots on goal in game two. He's had 8 or more in 3 of his last 5. Game 3 in Toronto, he'll be all over the puck. Give me at least 6 shots on goal for Austin Matthews. Like I said, at even money.
I haven't seen any of us bet this in a while, the shots on goal. But you know it's going to, Harry's going to text us like, oh, it hit his blocker. Then they said it missed the net completely.
You know, not be a shot on goal. Yeah.
You know that's coming.
100%. That is definitely going to be a text.
Yeah, yeah.
Darren, that was a shot on goal, right? Darren, come on.
Bri, you got a, this is a fun series. Maybe probably the most fun out of all of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go Edmonton, LA over 5.5 goals at minus, laying -140. Look, for game one, 11 goal outburst. You would think, right, the defenses would shore up here a little bit. But I'm not 100% sure, right? Like, it's one of those things. I mean, a lot of it depends on how many penalties there are on these type of games. Because if Edmonton gets on the power play, it's almost an automatic, right? If they're on a power play 5 times in a game, they're scoring 2 or 3 off of that automatically. Hyman and McDavid were red hot. So you might want to look at Hyman's score a goal, right? Hyman to score a goal again, and probably Draisaitl score a goal. I would look at those guys again, like I gave out Draisaitl the last game. But the last 4 playoff games between these two dating back to last year, there's been at least 9 goals in every game here. Mm-hmm. So I expect I just expect a lot of good action, even though in the regular season they were a little bit lower scoring, but 5.5, it's, you know, we've seen this before. Sometimes these Edmonton just wide open series here. So 5.5 is just too low.
They ought to be ashamed of themselves if they don't get to the finals this year. I mean, now with Hyman, Zach Hyman having the career year, 54 goals. So it's not just Draisaitl awesome. McDavid. I understand it's 3-4 lines. It, you know, means something. But for God's sakes, get it together, Edmonton. All right. So those are our hockey picks. We'll be right back with Sharp Tank.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, Sharp Tank. What did we do last week? Oh, we had the fights, right? Wait, Brian, we lost with the fight? What did we do?
No, I had Scheffler at top
Scheffler,
five.
Scheffler, top five.
I mentioned that the fight a little bit, but my pick
How
was
dare Scheffler take this week off? How dare he do? I don't care. Babies. I mean, it's our only moneymaker. And all right, so lead us off, Brian. Well, with lacrosse, of all things.
Yeah, look, I like doing the weekend games. I kind of hate having a Sharp Tank on Thursday or Friday. I probably, if I was taking an NBA game, I'd probably look at the Pacers right now are -4. I'd probably look at maybe the Pacers covering, although you don't necessarily know for sure. But I'm gonna go lacrosse. Haven't done it in a while here. But Virginia +2.5 versus Notre Dame, one of the biggest games of the year here. Virginia was ranked second before back-to-back losses on the road to Duke and Syracuse, who are two of the better teams in the country. But now they go up against Notre Dame, who's ranked #1. And they've been pretty dominant since last year when they won it. But if you remember last year, I might have given this out. I can't even remember. But this is a revenge game from last year that these two met in the semifinals. Virginia blew the game in the last 30 seconds to Notre Dame, then lost in overtime. So I think it's definitely a revenge game here at home. So really close one. So I'll take Virginia getting the 2.5 at -120.
All right, back to the hardwood there. Parley Kid, you're impressed with LeBron. We spoke briefly about their loss to Denver. They just can't beat this team. I mean, it's...
Yeah, that guy's pretty good. That LeBron guy is pretty decent, isn't he? When you say that, Sal, we don't probably give LeBron enough love.
I know we don't.
Even on this podcast, because I guess just because...
take it for granted. We take it for granted. But no one at this age is going to play this hard, right?
It really is incredible. I don't know if we've seen somebody play at this high of a level at this age in any sport with the exception of Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Has any...
I miss George Blanda, but he did look like a Civil War general every time he's on the sideline. He looked like a 61-year-old quarterback.
Some,
I don't know.
Yeah, there's some
Satchel Paige. Right,
but this is LeBron's different. I mean, it's amazing. His body is just built.
I'll say yes, his body is built
for this.
But also, wouldn't you? I'm so exhausted all the time. Wouldn't you love to take whatever the hell he's taking? Whatever gets him. It can't be all motivation to win. It can't be. I'm not saying it's anything illegal, but for God's sakes, even if it's 5-hour energy drink and inject it into his buttocks, whatever it is, I need to know.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, top nutritionists, top trainers,
We'll get there. Harry's got there too. Right? Harry's got like a voiceover coach or something. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is true. Like Brent said, I'm reaching up here. Normally our Sharp Tanks are Friday or later. But I'm taking a Thursday pick here with LeBron. And LeBron +650 to have a triple double. And if we look at what LeBron has done. Well, 4 games ago, he had a triple-double on April 14th.
Yeah.
And then 2 out of his last 3 games, he's been super close. So in his the last game, 2 rebounds away from a triple-double. And then back against the Pelicans on the 16th, He was one rebound, one assist away from a triple-double. He's right there, now down 2-0. We are going to see LeBron at his greatest. He is going to do everything he can to will this team to a win. We know the points are a given, right?
Sure. So
we don't have to worry about the points. And you have to figure he's going to hover around 10 rebounds, 10 assists. He's going to be in that ballpark in this type of game, right? He runs the pick and roll with AD, gets some nice, easy assists. I have a chance here at plus 650. This is my sharp tank pick for the week. And I've been on fire. So I had Lillard over 3.5 threes in game one as my sharp tank last week. That was over in the first quarter. So
I like this.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Nice.
I like this one a lot, Sal. I like this at plus 650. We're going to see peak LeBron at home. Peak LeBron.
I agree. And Harry, should we just skip you? Because I think I like this. I think I'm going with this. Go ahead. Give us your give us the golf. What's going in golf?
Well, going to go with golf, considering I don't know why I'm going to be in New Orleans this weekend, but I'm going to be in New Orleans this weekend. So I might as well go with the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Now, this golf tournament is a little different. It's a two-player tournament. But I'm going to go with Xander, and I'm going to go with Cantlay.
Well, that's both players. Five. How can you go with both if it's a two-player tournament? Teams. It's not a two-player. It's not exactly.
Xander and Cantlay at plus 105. A lot of no-name in this tournament. Not a lot of big-name players in this. Xander and Cantlay have been partners for this for a few years now. Last year, they tied for fourth. The year before that, they won it at 29 under in 2022. So top five plus 105. And I might even go to the tournament on Sunday. So why not?
All right. I don't know why not. I don't even know why. I have no idea why you're there.
What are you doing there, Harry? What's going on?
I don't even know.
Is Bruce playing?
He doesn't know.
You don't even know?
Darren, you don't. Hold on, Darren. You know, you've gone, like, you've never jumped on a plane 1,000, 1,500 miles away and just not know why you're going. Come on, Darren. Come on.
What's the matter with me?
Maybe to make sure Ken gets breakfast. I don't know.
Are you going to Rolling Stones, though?
No, I don't want to go. No.
Is he?
Garbage.
Is he going to Rolling Stones?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
I think so. Nobody knows why they're going there.
Well, that's why you're going.
I'm not going. I told him, don't give me a ticket. I don't want to go.
No, it's good. Just get me a plane ticket to watch you watch them. Yeah. All right, I'm going with Parlay Kit because I like that. Sorry, plus 650.
Yeah.
It's good. Go LeBron. Do it up.
Darren.
Look, not that the calls are going to give him this more assists or rebounds, but I feel like, for God's sake, are they going to let the Lakers lose 12 in a row to Denver? I don't know. Something.
Right.
Something's
right.
Going to happen.
Right.
Something's got to get involved. Well,
didn't you take on Cousin Sal's winning weekend Denver 4-1?
I think I did.
I took 4-1.
You took 4-1?
Right?
What did I take?
I think you were 4-2. I think you were 4-2, Sal.
Did I?
I think and Harry took
4-2.
I think Darren and I both were 4-1, and you two were both 4-2.
Many damn picks.
Hey, can we give some credit to Harry where credit is due? No. Maxie got most improved today.
He did, yeah.
Congrats,
that's true. Okay.
He got
what kind of odds was
Harry deserves credit for that.
Nice job by you, Harry.
Our future bets in the NBA, which I'm terrible at, I hit like four. I'm going to hit maybe four or five of those props.
Four or five future bets? No, you didn't.
Four or five future
just
bets.
Like, yeah. Teams over on the.
When we did our,
Why didn't you speak up when I was doing? I went over all my losers last week.
NBA.
What?
All right. I prefer to get it done in the NFL.
All right. Harry's flying to New Orleans. He's taking his winnings, flying to New Orleans to celebrate. There you go. That's that. You'll see these guys on Cousin Sal's winning weekend, Friday morning, FanDuel TV. You'll also see Jeffrey Ross. It's going to be my interview guest there. Jeff is promoting the Brady Roast. Tom Brady's roasting Tom Brady next Sunday on Netflix.
Mm.
I'll get the date right. I think it's May 5th. Right there on Netflix live. So they're not even holding it. So that's going to be a great, great time. We'll talk to Jeff. That's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds from Mikey Meatballs and the D3. I'm Sal saying so long, screw you Mavericks, and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na Must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.